I've mentioned camp a couple of times in my words so far, and I've asked this fine gentleman here, who's been at camp all the week.
Yes.
And he looks all right. You okay?
Yeah.
Yes, he's all right. He's just going to share with us a little bit about what they've done.
Fine gentleman, eh? Not so fine at 6 o'clock the other morning, I have to say. But yeah, very appropriate reading, considering we're in Wales and surrounded by sheep for a lot of the time. So yeah, thank you. Yes, camp, another August bank holiday and another camp ticked. Great time had by all. We had 21 on camp, 14 youngsters, only three boys. Very diverse backgrounds, some quite difficult backgrounds they were from. And initially, there were some frictions between some of them, but I felt that they were ironed out throughout the week. They began to accept each other's differences and respect each other's differences, and they gelled very, very well as a group. We did a variety of activities. Some we do every year, some are different. We do the main activity on the Monday was a Segway. You know what Segways are? It's like one of those old-fashioned lawnmowers with a handle and I didn't go on myself, but the others did. They loved it, absolutely loved it. Walk on the Tuesday, I always plan a 7 mile walk. Invariably it works out to about 10 because I'm known for my underestimation. 10 mile walk, teenage girls don't particularly enjoy walking. Well, they didn't on the Tuesday morning before we went. One of them said, I don't want to do this, I'm not going to go, I'm not feeling very well. I said, well, look, come on, give it a try. What would you rather be doing? I'd rather be on my phone all day. Well, you're not going to be on your phone all day. And actually they loved it. It was 10 miles, it was a stretch. They actually broke into spontaneous song halfway up the hills behind camp, which shows how much they gelled. It was good. They really did like the challenge. Wednesday was Haven, as usual. We can't take that off the agenda. They wouldn't let us. Thursday on camp, Friday Barmouth, as usual. They worked together very well. The devotions were 13 sets of devotions. They were based on the parables. We've done them before. They were quite challenging. There was lots of questions. Again, initially I felt there was quite a bit of cynicism coming from some of the youngsters. But again, gradually they began to accept what we're trying to tell them. Whether they agreed, I don't know. But they were left with lots of questions and lots of challenges. And I pray that you will pray for those youngsters before as the memories of camp fade away. Because whether they will act upon those challenges remains to be seen. But again, they responded very, very well, and we had a happy time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And thank you for giving your time so willingly, I think. Yes, I think we forget sometimes that people give up their time to go to camp and look after these diverse background children. Youngsters, I'll call them, they're not really children, are they, when they go to camp? As I was planning this service, I asked Mark if I could have the camp devotions for this year, because I like to have a look each day at what it is they're looking at, and it helps with prayer time and while you're thinking about them. We knew what the activities were this year because Trevor, bless him, gave us a sheet. That's not the full story, and I'll come to that in a minute. But as I thought about the parables, I came to thinking about what I was going to talk about this morning. And the verse that came to me was, and it's part of John chapter 10, it's 10b, and it says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Now, this morning is not an advert for Boys Brigade or Girls Brigade. It may seem like that, but it isn't. In that statement, Jesus makes his purpose for being here perfectly clear. He has come that we might have life and have it to the full. We've heard from Dave just about camp. For anybody who has never been to camp, can you tell me what you think is the purpose of going to camp? Is it for a holiday?
It's a holiday.
get to know each other, which is what Dave says has happened. They get to know each other. That's one of the things. Is it a holiday for the officers? I don't think so. From what I know of people who've been to camp, three people in my house used to go to camp regularly, and I know it wasn't a holiday. They get to know each other better. They form friendships. They learn self-reliance. Is this right? They have to look after their own stuff. It's no good chucking it in the corner because Mum's not there to pick it up. And she's not there to say, oh, excuse me, John, them are dirty. You can't put them on today. They've got to go in the wash. You have to do it yourself. It's no good you putting your wet swimming trunks or costume in with your dry clothes, because it'll all be wet and smelly by the end of the week and you'll have no clean clothes or comfortable things to wear. They learn all those things. They learn discipline. Do you still do bugle calls for cookhouse? When first cookhouse is sounded, and I've never been to camp, so I don't really know, but you know your dinner's nearly ready. And by the time they sound second cookhouse, you're supposed to be there. Is that correct? See, I've learnt something over all these years. Discipline. They've got to be there, else they don't get any dinner. But no, I don't think, knowing what I know about boys and girls at camp, I don't think it's any good turning up 10 minutes late because there'll be no dinner left. So they learn discipline. And as Dave says, they learn and hear more about Jesus. There are challenges. But one thing that, well, several things on that programme that Trevor produced that is missing is the daily programme. Twice daily, they meet for devotions. Once after breakfast and once before bed. And the officers take it in turns to do the devotions. And this year, as Dave said, they've talked about the parables. Now, before I go any further, and I think I might be barking up the wrong tree here, can anybody tell me, who isn't in Boys Brigade, because that's cheating, what is the purpose of Boys Brigade? You're not in Boys Brigade. You are in, but you don't qualify, I'm sorry. Anybody who has nothing at all to do with Boys Brigade, can you tell me what the purpose of the Boys Brigade is?
Getting to know each other.
Yes, sort of. But the actual aim of the Boys Brigade, when we first came from Birmingham, we went to Polswood Baptist Church, and on the wall in the youth hall, there was a thing that said, the object of the Boys Brigade. Okay? Do you want to tell us, Ron? No, all right. I'm doing well, am I? Okay. Well, the purpose of the Boys Brigade is the advancement of Christ's kingdom among boys and the promotion of habits of obedience, reverence, discipline, self-respect, and all that tends towards a true Christian manliness. Now, to me, that speaks of finding life to the full. If you follow that, if you give your life to Jesus and you do all those things, you will have a full and blessed life. Again, nobody who's involved, please. What is the purpose of the Girls Brigade then? No. We'll see what else. Okay? Anybody else know what is the purpose of the Girls Brigade? Go on then, Bev.
To help girls become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ through self-control, reverence and a sense of responsibility to find true enrichment of life.
Exactly. See, here we go again. True enrichment of life. It's just what Jesus wanted for the people. It's what the officers in the brigades want for the young people. We had the programme for camp this year. And I thank you for your prayers, because they've clearly had a good week. They've been supported by us in prayer. The youngsters have heard stories about Jesus. Now, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, as we discovered in the story of Zacchaeus. He was a lost soul. He came to repentance. He gave his life, he gave his wealth away and found a much better life. He found salvation that day when he gave his life to Jesus. So what does life in all its fullness mean to you and to me? Does it mean you'll be successful at work? You'll get the top job, the best salary. You'll have the biggest house in the street and the poshest car, a new one every year. You'll have loads of money in the bank and a good social life. Is that how we see what life in all its fullness is? Is that what a full life means to you? You know, often when somebody has died, you go to their funeral and you hear, oh, whatever, whoever it is, lived a full life. They enjoyed a full life. And what does that mean? Does it mean all those things I've just listed? Or does it mean they had a full life with God, doing what he wanted them to do, and they now have an even fuller life in heaven? Is that what it means? Jesus came to show us how we could have a better life, how committed to him we can care for others, we can tell them about him, and we can serve him however and wherever he calls us to do it. I've told you before, 10 years ago, I would never have dreamt that I would be doing this. I'm doing this because I love Jesus and it's what he calls me to do. Jesus didn't say it was going to be easy. He didn't promise you an easy ride. In fact, he says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It is hard. It isn't an easy ride. People who you thought were your friends often don't want to know you if you start talking to them about Jesus. Oh, I don't want to listen to that. I've had several conversations with people recently about faith. One with a lady I know quite well, who prayed for her son. The prayer was not answered. And her attitude now is, don't talk to me about prayer. It don't work and I don't want to know. And that makes me sad. And then for another lady who's recently lost her husband, I offered to pray for him while he was in the hospice, and the reply I got was not a direct no, but the reply I got was, we're not particularly religious, but every little helps. Kind of your insurance policy, isn't it? But I did pray for that man and his wife. We have a duty to do that because we want other people to know what we know. We want them to have life in all its fullness. There is nothing at all wrong with being successful. There is nothing wrong with having nice things and nice holidays and a new car every year. But we must not let those things become our total focus. It must be Jesus first. Because he says, all these things and more I will give you if you seek me first. A couple of weeks ago, we had our granddaughters from Wales stay with us. And we took them out one day. we took them to a place called Cork Abbey, and they have a family chapel in the grounds. And as we walked up to this to look in this church, the girls were quite interested, and the little one, who's 9, was holding my hand. And she said, you know, you're walking through the grounds, looking at the trees and thinking, oh, isn't this lovely? Listening to the birds singing, and this little soul says to you, Grandma, do you die in heaven? Nay, hang on a minute, I'm listening to the... Anyway, do you die in heaven? And I said, no. You die and go to heaven. Oh, she said, yes, okay, I get that. But do you die again when you get to heaven? And I said, no, you don't. Is there any... A 9-year-old's view of things. Is there any food in heaven? And I said, yes. There'll be the best food you've ever seen in heaven. Oh, she said. Now, bear in mind, this little girl is 9. And then she says, as we carry on walking, Grandma, will there be a Disney shop in heaven? Yeah, you may think that's funny. Disney is everything to Erin at the moment. Everything is Disney. Disney is wonderful. And I said to her, no, there will not be a Disney shop in heaven. Grandma, she said, why not? And I said to her, there won't be a Disney shop in heaven, Erin, because you will be at Jesus' party. It'll be the best thing you've ever been to, and you won't need a Disney shop. That was the end of the conversation. But what a wonderful way to be able to tell a little girl about Jesus. And she was quite happy with that. She goes to Sunday school every week anyway, but just fancy, we were having a lovely day out, and she asked me those questions. It brings you up a bit short sometimes. And it just shows you, doesn't it, this Disney shop, what was important to her, aged 9. I hope when she's a bit older, it won't be the Disney shop that she's looking forward to. Oh dear. Life in all its fullness. I have come that they may have life in all its fullness. Life walking around with the burden of sin. Life that is self-centered. Life is that wants more and more and more for me, 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 is not a full and fulfilled life. Life lived with Jesus. Life given to him is full and fulfilling. And it holds a promise. Jesus promised that he has gone to prepare a place for us in heaven. That where he is, we will also be, sharing in his glory, living life to the full. Life may not be comfortable here. It may not be quite what you envisaged, but it leads to glory with Jesus if we trust him. Amen.